Bear Creek, they call it. This is La Caga. That's where it started from. This is what my father told me anyway, of how it started. There was a family living there. Man and a wife, and he got 7 full-grown boys. And in the fall they were there, and they were living in a duck-out house. And they go out every day, these boys. They were big enough. They were full-grown for out hunting. And one night during the night, they went to bed again. When during the night, he heard the old man woke up, and he heard something was shooing. They were sleeping in one corner, and he heard something was shooing. Chewing on something in the house. And, well, he started to call his wife, "What's that chewing? Chewing on something." And, he got up, and there was only one boy left. The 3 boys were, the 6 boys were gone. They don't know what happened to them. So they woke up this boy. What happened? He doesn't know. He was sleeping, so. So they went out. Outdoors had to look for them. For them 6 boys. They just gone. And that day they started to walk around in the close area where, in that area where people are living. There was no sign of them nowhere. Everywhere they go to other villages, no sign of them. Well, that's how the sick dance started. Right there, that next year, they didn't know what happened to them. So, this old man started stick dance, and he's the one that made this this song, first songs for the stick dance. So, and they make they catch all kinds of ducks there in the summer, and first it was they made it out of a feather, this thing. And all of them are different kind of ducks, got different kind of colors on the wings. They make a stick out of that one. They create a stick out of that one. That's where the first stick dance come from.
Come in.
That's the beginning of it. And it goes as far as Nulato. From then on, from Kaikuk too, they do a different way of celebrating too. That's the one that made these 14 songs. The stick dance. And there's 7 songs of the really stick dance song, but before the stick dance, you get 14 songs. From there on, they started after stick dance. They were doing it a different way from the time I started to know. People used to get ready for the stick dance. If they're going to have stick dance during the winter, they start getting ready for it from in the fall, almost a year. For the dressing and all that. And anyway, they used to send up a messenger from here to Nulato, and sometimes to Kaikuk too. And the messenger stay up there, the muck, they call it. They stay up there for about a month, and all during that time, while the messenger is there, the people get ready for the stick dance to come down too, or come here to go up, same way. That's the way they used to run it. And they used to have singing every night for about a week anyway before the stick dance, like we started now. We shortened it to 3 days now. There are not very many people know how to sing now. The singers that they used to see long ago is all fading away. Because nobody don't make songs anymore like the way they used to do.
Pauline, was the stick dance in the past held at the same time of year as it is these days?
No, it wasn't. It was usually held between Christmas and New Year's. Years back, when you start planning for your potlatch, it would take about 3 or 4 years. During that time, you would be preparing for your potlatch. There was all the handmade items were given away for the potlatches, and this beautiful parka that I have, my squirrel skin parka. People even used to dress in those things, and the long fur boots. Women never used to wear pants. It was always the dresses, and the homemade bloomers and stuff was all, and the very long knitted stockings. All that was all homemade that had to be furnished. So it took 3 or 4 years to prepare for something like this. And I can always remember my grandmother, when she had, which she always did take part in all the potlatches that were taking place at the time. And in the cache, whenever they sent us up to the cache for something, we were not to go near the stuff that was being put away for the potlatch, because meaning that it's for the dead. And the younger kids were not allowed to go near the stuff because the spirit is there and is supposed to take you away or something like that. Anyway, that was always scary. And you got to respect the older people's ways, and you even got to believing the stuff that they tell you, which probably, wasn't so, but still... being that you hear it all the time, well, you just got to believing in the stuff. And during the potlatches, well, in the evening, whenever the older people go to the hall to start their dancing and their potlatch, well, the younger ones at home were never to be left alone. You had to get a babysitter, an older person, to stay home with the children, because... as the saying goes, as soon as you start your potlatch for the dead, which is starting tonight, well, the people that you are having potlatch for, the dead people, are mingling right amongst the rest of the people in the village. And they're so happy about this potlatch that are giving in their honor that they're around. So therefore, whenever you leave the house, well, you're not supposed to leave the kids alone, because the spirit might come in while you're gone and take one of the kids away. Not actually take them, but where the kids would get sick and, So there is a lot to our belief in the stick dance.
Does anybody remember any experiences of the dead coming back?
Well, I really wouldn't swear to this, but it seems to me like someone a few years ago here in Caltech, it was about 6 years ago, that another thing, like you're not supposed to sing the stick dance song at any time except when there is a stick dance. Because if you do, the saying is that the people, if you're just singing it for nothing, well, the people that are dead... you fool them, because they could hear this song and they know it's just being sung for nothing. So for that reason, you're not supposed to sing this song at any other time except during the stick dance. So this guy here in Caltech is supposed to be, James Solomon, I guess he had a few drinks one evening, so he was just singing the song. So another guy happened to go out in the evening and heard James hollering. So he wondered what was going on, so he went over towards the hall where he thought he heard him. So when he went in there, it was dark in there, but he actually, James was hollering for help in there, so he hollered, "Well, James, what's the matter?" And he said, "Well, come on, give me a hand here. There's some people here that are trying to take me away." So he went in there, and of course he didn't see anyone, or he didn't hear anyone, but he went and got James out of there. And James, I guess he got so scared that he never drank for a whole year. But they said he couldn't even go out at nights after dark. He had gotten so frightened. But he said he remembered, he thought he recognized Leo Demaski's voice, who had drowned it about a couple of years before then. So, you know.
Are these songs, the 13 specific songs, are these the songs that are made for people who have died?
No. It is that those songs were made at the very beginning of the stick dance, years back, and that's been just carried through the years. And there's very, very few people that know those songs, because the only time that they are ever sung is during the time that, you know, the night of the stick dance. So therefore, one doesn't have the chance to practice the singing. Now they have tape recorders, so that's the only thing that helps the very few people that know the songs now, because I think old Andre is the guy that really, the only one that knows the songs, really. And he's in Fairbanks now at an old nursing home up there. He's not able to sing or anything, but they have his tapes, so the men just follow along with the tape.
What's Andre's last name?
That is his last name.
What is his first name?
Oh, Miso, Andre. I'm sure he's in his 90s.
And the other songs, there's no prohibition against singing them at some other time of year?
Well, I wouldn't say that you can just sing them at any old time, but, you know, you could, you know. But the people, like, around home, Nulato, they respect those songs too. Like, they don't believe in doing it for a show, like, say, those Minto people, and, you know, it's for a show. They do that. They put on a show for, say, the white people, like in Fairbanks, or, you know. But our people don't. It's a very respected thing, where you just don't do that to show other people what it is like to do the washed-up dance. You know, it's for the dead. Like they're starting this tonight, and they'll have that for 4 nights. So it's a lot of it is the mourning songs for the dead.
The style of dancing, the wash tub dance, is that specifically done with the mourning songs, or is that done at other times too?
Like when someone dies, they have, say, 1 night after the burial of, and it's really, at that time, it's sort of to help the relatives of the person that died to sort of get over this sadness. It's to sort of to, you know, how could I say?
Ease their sorrow?
Yes, That's the only time that they do have, other than the stick dance. So we just don't dance at any old time, you know.
You were saying that the clothing has changed from earlier stick dances, when people would make full fur parkas, to now. Were there any feelings toward the clothing in terms of that this was for a dead person, and that living people should treat it in a certain way?
We did at the time, because I remember years back at home, when my grandmother, I used to watch her and other relatives, you know, when they're preparing for the stick dance or for preparing the clothing, they didn't want the younger kids to come around them, even to touch the materials that they are sewing on. That was strictly out, where, you know, just no one can come around you and touch that stuff, especially the smaller children. And then you're not to try on a fur parka or the boot or whatever to see if it would fit, you know, just guessing. But now I notice you go in anybody's house and they're trying on a jacket, see if it would fit the person that they're making it for. Well, years back, you were not allowed to do that because it's strictly for the dead person, and it's supposed to be like when you dress the person in these clothes, and after it's all over with that night, that would be the next night after the stick dance. So when you go home and undress, you undress in all the new clothes that you were given, and so then you put all this in a bag and put it in the cache. So now it stays in the cache overnight. So that night is when the spirit is supposed to come back and claim the clothes and take it beyond with him or her. So that's the reason for putting your clothes in the cache that first night that you're dressed. You're not supposed to leave that in the house.
And then is there any special way you're supposed to treat the clothing after that night, if you've received the clothing?
No. Not after that night. Well, then it's your own. You can do whatever you want with it.
Uh-huh. Are there any other changes in attitudes and customs since past stick dances to now?
Well, I really believe and see that there is an awful lot of change, especially in the beliefs. I think it's not as strong as it used to be. But now I noticed the last few years since the Catholic priests have sort of gotten over this idea of saying that the Indians are adoring the pole or using that as a god. Well, since they've changed that, it really has come back. Because in the early 40s, all through the 40s, it was sort of out. And it's only in the 50s, I think around 56, that it came back. And I think the thing that really brought it back too was, like for myself, I didn't care. I didn't care what anybody thought. I am a Catholic and really believe in my religion, but that's one thing. My grandmother, ever since I could remember, she really took that to heart. That was her way of celebrating. So when she passed on, well, there was about four different people that dressed for my grandmother. And so we just did it. We didn't care what the priest said or what the priest thought. So seemed like from then on it really, started going the other way, where we used to be afraid before then, we were so afraid of the priest because the way they told us, it's a sin. It was a sin to believe in anything like that, which wasn't. You come right down to think of it now, and it isn't. It's our way. It's our native people's way of doing things. It was their belief, and that was it,
About how many years has the stick dance been brought back in this area?
So I'd say about 15 years or so. Uh-huh. And it's been really, even the younger people are starting it now, seems like, the dressing part,
What are some of the favorite songs that have been sung, say, in the past up to now?
Well, say, UDL probably is the one that's really an old kid. UDL is a song that was made by Tom Patsy and was made for his aunt, old Mrs. Chief Ismailka. And the word UDL wasn't meant in the first place to be in there. It just so happened that this lady, her name was Suzanne Wilson, they were having a washed-up dance, and she just happened to come in the hall when they were singing that song. And she had a few drinks, and they had two liquor stores at Nulato then, and she had a pint inside of her jacket, and she was just feeling good enough where when she came into the hall they were singing that song, so she just pulled out this pint and she started waving it, and she just started saying, well, UDL high price stuff, ho o ina. So it just stuck there, and that's the way the song is. It has those words in it when, you know, the person that composed the song didn't have those words in there. But it sure livens up the our native dancing.
Can you tell me the story behind Eagle Island Blues?
Eagle Island Blues was also made by a guy from Nulato, Tom Patsy. It's a love song. And I remember when I was quite young, before I got married, how we used to just love to waltz in that song and get carried away. But anyhow, he was trapping down at Eagle Island, which is about 70 miles below Caltag. And one night he said he was listening to Tundra Topics, and old Al Bramstead was the announcer over KFAR at the time. And he said the news came on, and here was, well, they're having a stick dance next week or something like that at Nulato. And just then he said he just got to feeling real blue, and he started thinking about his girlfriend, and he just composed a song. So that's how that came about. Eagle Island Blues.
Could you tell me something about the special foods that people receive?
That there is supposed to be feeding the dead person that you are having the potlatch for. So you give a dish and a cup of water to the person that you are going to dress. That's sort of introducing them to what you intend to do for your husband or your brother or whatever, your sister or grandmother or whatever. And you have to exchange a dish of food, say maybe once a week or once a month. It all depends, but shortly before the stick dance, you have to do that more often. But you always put your best food in these plates, and it's supposed to be feeding the person that you are making the potlatch for. You give this dish to the person that you are going to dress. So then probably the same day or the next day, they'll return the dish back to you. And so it just goes back and forth.
Do they have to fill up the dish when they return it?
You don't necessarily have to fill it up, but it's usually the food that you are cooking just to for a meal, you know, your soup or whatever, your fried meat or fish, and then your dessert. And a lot of times maybe they put a can of pop or a can of beer or whichever, if the person liked beer, will, or, you know, anything that they used to like is what they like to put in the dish.
So the person that's going to be dressed that receives food that the dead person would have liked
yes,
to eat.
Yes, uh-huh.
And how long a period of time would this happen that they would receive dishes of food?
Well, like this Mary Alexei, we were talking to her today, and she said it was shortly after her husband died that she gave a dish. I mean, in fact, two men. So it all depends, and that's over 2 years. And then some people just do it maybe for a month before the stick dance, but then you have to really be busy with your dish, you know, back and forth. So it all depends on, you know, whatever you want to do.
So that in the past, the stick dance would be held like between Christmas and New Year's. Mm-hmm. Why was it that specific period of time?
Well, years back when the people used to go out trapping, say they'd go out in September by boats, and the only time they'd come in with the family would be at Christmas time. So they'd stay in town maybe for 2 weeks to a month. And that was the only time they could have had held the stick dance. And then it would take all your fall time to put away your best foods for the potlatch too. Like the men would go out and go bear hunting after the bears are in the hole, you know, and get them out. When the bears are so fat then, and then your ducks, and of course your king salmon that you catch during the summer, you put all your best food away for the potlatch, your dry meat and fat, everything like that. So, you know, it took a lot of time and work to prepare for your stick dances. Really, it costs a lot of money. And I do every time I go to Nulato, I know, even though my husband wasn't raised to believe in stuff like that, he was raised amongst white people, and he doesn't... all that stuff was new to him, but I explained to him, and he never denies me the money to spend for something like that. It's nothing for me, like at Nulato, to spend $400 or $500. It don't mean anything to me, because you know, I love it, and I was raised up seeing my grandmother do that, I enjoy doing it, and that's all that matters.
How did it come to be that the stick dance is held in March?
I really don't know. I guess it's because it's not so cold then, too, and you know, the people from the other areas could come to, you know, the village for something like that. Because last year, like when we had our stick dance in Nulato, we even had one come up from Tacoma, Washington. We had some from Juneau, Anchorage, Fairbanks, a whole bunch from Fairbanks, Tanana, Unalakleet, Caltech, Huslia, Galena, Ruby, Tanana. So we really had a crowd last year. In fact, another lady came up from the States too, besides this girl from Tacoma. I forgot, I think she came from Montana, but she was a white woman that she really enjoyed. She ate everything, all the native food. We thought she was going to get sick, but she didn't. So she enjoyed it very much.